I'm still trying to figure out Z, and I hope we can just, because we can be real with it. Why in the world were you not on that 92 Dream Team? I'm just saying. I mean, you are one of the top 10 greatest NBA players ever. And I just remember a time coming up, you were the baby brother of the league. I mean, it was Magic. It was Isaiah. I mean, I don't remember those two names never not mentioned in the same sentence.
Yeah. Yep.
What's up with this 92 Dream Team crap?
Hey, I for a long time, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now, after all of us have watched and seen The Last Dance, okay, now we do know the truth, right?
You know, sure. Yep.
Jordan didn't want me on the team, and
yep,
that's how I was.
Hoop Dreams, the podcast, an Unlearning Network production.
But Zeke, they took a shot at you
from
a lot of angles. It not taking nothing away from John Stockton, Hall of Famer.
And by the way, not a good friend.
Yeah, and everybody knows he's a Hall of Famer, assist leader man, all that. But he ain't Isaiah Thomas. We know that too.
Yeah, but that's why his name's John Stockton.
But then it's those guys. It's the fact that they did. Put him as the other guard. But then it's your coach. You know, I'm like, that's Chuck Daly. I'm like, that's Isaiah's coach. So how do you not have love for Isaiah, but you got love for the coach who also beat you?
Crazy.
So let me just broaden that, right? I didn't make the team. I'm 1990s Finals MVP.
Yep.
Joe Dumars, 1989. Finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First team all defense. Dennis Rodman don't make the team.
Mm.
First team all defense.
Defense.
Player of the year. 2 years in a row. None of us make the team.
Wow.
So the power has shifted from the Detroit Pistons to the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan, you know, let it be known, like, I don't want no Pistons.
None.
I mean, think about it. You know, you can say, yeah, I was slighted. But at the same time, after the run we just had with the Detroit Pistons,
yep,
dethroned in the Lakers, dethroned in the Celtics. And don't no Pistons make it either?
Yep. And I always say that it wasn't just that, you know, it was the whole NBA that didn't like y'all, that didn't like the team, didn't like the way y'all played. And I think that they, by them acting that way, you know, they felt like, oh, well, what if we just don't acknowledge them? If we don't, yeah, we know they did, they like everybody is first on it in, they won it back to back. But what if we just don't acknowledge them? You think that we can just, thinking to just go away?
They do that. They kind of skip 89 and 90.
Yeah.
They kind of fly past it.
You use the key word, acting that way.
Yep.
Because here's the reality, right? Every team that has stepped on the scene since the Detroit Pistons all imitated the way we play things.
Yep.
I mean, remember, We were heavily criticized for being a jump shooting team. And Bill was heavily criticized for being a pick and pop center with no post up game.
Right.
Vinny Johnson, Joe Dumars, myself, three small guards.
Yep.
They were saying you can't win playing pick and roll basketball.
Yep.
When you look at the NBA today, it mirrors our three guards, Lambert, Sally, and Rodman. But Sally and Rodman got better skill games with their size and their body.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw in Mark Aguirre. Hey, man, what you talking about?
Right.
And then And so I'm just gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it straight 100. When you,
yeah,
because I tend to do that sometimes, and people get mad at me. But for as much as the Chicago Bulls say they didn't like us,
mm-hmm.
they turn around and they go get Rodman, Sally,
keep it coming,
Edwards,
and James Edwards, and then a fellow Chicagoan, Daryl Walker.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, wait, time out, man.
Yeah.
So they was bad with us, but they good with y'all.
Right.
Okay, I get it. I get it.
and I like the way you explained it in the doc. You was like, you know, you gave the Bulls their props, you know what I'm saying? And you was just like, the thing was that, you know, we had got older and they had found what we had found when we was playing the Boston Celtics and the Lakers. They had found a will, a determination like no other, that we not going for an ass whooping today. Like,
yeah.
The Bulls had become you guys. And I mean, they was just as rough as y'all. Like, they wouldn't let a motherfucker come through the lane and lay nothing in. Put him on his ass. Like, I don't care if he make the bucket. Put him on his ass. They had become you guys.
Yeah.
And then what did the NBA say? Oh, they playing great defense. What the fuck is it? Detroit Pistons was playing great defense too.
You know, every run comes to an end. You know.
Yeah.
It's like it took us a long time to beat the Celtics, but the Celtics got a little older, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after they taught us all lessons, all right, we stepped on the scene and we did our thing.
Yep.
You know, the Lakers taught us some lessons. And, you know, when they got a little older, well, when Kareem, you know, when Kareem couldn't do that, then it was a wrap.
It was a wrap.
And same thing with us. When we got older, and Scottie Pippen, you know, Scottie don't get enough credit.
Yep.
But
he grew up.
Oh.
He grew up. Y'all whooped his ass.
That's an understatement that he grew up. He became just as good.
Mm.
As, you know, what Scottie brought to the team, to that Chicago Bulls team.
Yeah.
During that period of time, if Scottie don't become Scottie, they don't win. They don't beat.
Yeah.
They just don't beat. They don't beat nobody. I mean, they'll win some games, but talking about, you know, going to NBA finals, winning championships and all that.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen is not there. It don't happen.
It don't happen. You're right.
So when Scottie became like Scottie,
mm-hmm.
That's you know, and Mark McGuire says it best. He's like, man, you know, the things I used to could get away with, can't do it no more. Scott.
Wow.
So you got to give Scotty his credit and all. And but so the whole controversy around, you know, I know we're gonna get to this about, you know, not shaking hands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Celtics didn't shake all hands.
Mm-mm. Nope. It's video of it.
The Lakers didn't shake our hand. We never made a big deal about it.
Yep.
We never said, oh, they didn't shake our hand. No, we gave the champions the respect,
mm-hmm.
and the honor of leaving the arena.
Yep, leaving the floor. Giving them glory of winning.
And we focus more on our celebration. Now, I grew up watching the Lakers and the Celtics. I went to all the NBA finals.
Mm.
And I saw the Lakers, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Celtics, the 76ers in the Lakers.
Mm.
Every team that won celebrated, and the other team left.
Wow.
You know, all this, you know, shaking hands and all this stuff. Now, after the media and the fans beat all that, right?
Right.
Real quick.
Yeah.
It wasn't always that way. We took the ass whooping for not doing it. Now everybody, you know, has to line up and actually
do it.
And the other thing I would say is, again, you know, what we learned from the Celtics and the Lakers, we would never, ever be champion if it were for the, I'm just going to call it like it is, ass whoopings.
They
were constantly giving us, but also teaching in the process. And I give them major, whenever you hear the Pistons talk about our journey, we always give the Celtics and the Lakers major props for ass whoopings they gave us and the lessons that they taught.
But Zeke, you know y'all supposed to have three. If you don't get hurt, y'all, if you don't get hurt and they call that damn foul on Kareem, who was guarding? Rick Mahorn or somebody?
Lambeer.
Lambeer, right. If you don't get hurt, y'all win that year. What was that, 88?
Yep, we win 88, 89, and 90.
Yep. That would have been the Detroit Pistons 3-peat. And it was right there. Dude, what I just want to say about that game, because the ankle swole up as big as my damn microphone right here. Did they give you anything? Did they shoot something in your ankle for you to come back out there and do what the hell you did?
You know what I got a dose of? I got a dose of some West Side Mary Say, get your ass up.
What?
Yeah, and it's like laying there. I remember vividly like having these images that flashed through my head. You know, one was, you know, hearing my mom saying, get up. You know, because again, when you get knocked down, you got to get up.
Yeah.
You get up quick. You don't lay down there and let somebody, you know, understand that they done beat you. Right.
Right.
So now I'm thinking, okay, I got to get up. But then I'm starting to see, you know, them long walks that my mom used to have to take, you know, bus. And I never forget, one day we walk into the bus and complaining, you know, holes in my shoes, and you know how the snow get in, or it's, and you got some extra cardboard like stuck down there, so try to fill that hole up, but it get wet, it get all soggy. So socks, you know. And so I'm complaining about my feet being cold, and then something happened when I got up that I can't explain.
what happened was a dose of Mary Thomas inspiration that sent you on a tear that can't nobody mimic, and today's player wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah. They sit out with injuries that we never would have.
Never would have. I mean, you plan on literally, you tippy-toeing with the other foot, not trying to put no pressure on it, but you're running down the court full sprint, man.
Yeah. And making a layup. But while I'm in the air making a layup, I'm trying to process, oh, shit, I'm going to come down. Because if I come down on this foot, it's just gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of plays in that game. You know, that there was an inbound pass at the end of the game. Magic Byron Scott coming up the lane.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in my head is saying, get the gap, get the layup this game.
Yeah.
But I hesitated for it. And I didn't go with it. Had I gone with it, that ball would have been thrown right in my.
Wow.
The thing is, now Byron comes off, catches it, and he's going to take his shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I jump up, and I got my hand on top of the basket. And then I think to myself,
right.
So I let the ball go a little bit, and he double clutched, and he knocked the shot.
And I remember he did double pump. Yep.
God. You go back and you look at that play, my hand is on top of the basketball. And had I stayed there, I don't know what would happen to my leg coming down. But those were the things that I was thinking about every time that I was in the moment playing. Like,
man, you had this amazing career. Chicago West Side born, legend, St. Joe's legend, Indiana legend, NBA legend, career legend. My conversation, why don't people respect Isaiah Thomas like we respect Isaiah Thomas? Like, what's the gripe with you?
I would say, first of all, they don't like that I won. You know, had I lost all them guys, they probably would like me.
Right?
And then I think people still have a difficult time understanding and processing how we won, smart we were.
Mm.
And so since they can't understand it, they just want to
dismiss it
or not get dismiss it or put some negativity
on it. Yep.
You know, because they can't understand it. Because when you meet me, I'm not 6'9". I'm 6'7". I'm not, you know, I say I'm 6'1", but you know, y'all done met.
I'm
stretching it, you know. So understanding how we won and how smart we were as a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach Beckford called you and taught you, and as Ms. Pingator taught you and taught me, hey, you know, man, people get mad when you keep making them make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you keep beating them and making the same mistake, and they want to blame it on something.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think, like, the respect factor, definitely all them accolades that you named off, I get it from the basketball people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the average person who ain't never played the game or can't understand that there are different levels of thinking to the game, you know,
they may not
understand how I went about winning and how we won. So they put some negativity on it.
Yeah.
And they run with it.
Yeah. The 89, 90, 91, I'm the only dude in Chicago wearing your shirt. This, I'm talking about this before y'all even won anything, but I'm riding with y'all and I live in Chicago and go to Marshall. So I was getting it every day.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was just standing on it. Dude, that's my guy. That's my dude. Watch he bust y'all ass tonight. Watch he rock y'all ass tonight. And you and y'all would come in and rock their ass, bust their ass. So I'm like, now as I'm older and people know my reverence for you and everything. So anytime I say anything about you, it's like they give me, they give me more love for loving you, for even looking up to you and you being my mentor. They like, damn, you really love Zeke that much? Well, all right, man, he was cold, man, so we'll roll with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's hard to fight facts and it's hard to fight winning, right? And
yeah.
And we know, like, we all play for coaches and, you know, our moms and pops, as poor as we was,
yeah,
they did not accept you giving nothing but your best.
Yes.
Right? And understanding how to give your best and then how to beat the opponent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like coming home to Chicago or, you know, like I said, Michigan Avenue may have been mad at me, but when I went to Isles and I went to the snack shop and, you know, Gloria's and, you know, McDonald's, you know, hey, welcome home.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I stood on Central and Madison or Holman and Jackson or Cicero and Lake, it's like, hey, welcome home, you know?
Yeah.
When I went to Michigan Avenue, boo, boo, boo.
Right. Get out of here.
Yeah. That wasn't my home. My home was the west side of Chicago.
Chicago. Mm.
That's all I played for,
mm-hmm.
repped for. So when I talk about Chicago, I am very clear about who the people I'm talking about,
right,
the west side of Chicago. Now, if others want to claim me or cheer for me, I'm good with that. But I know when it's all said and done, my funeral is going to be at Our Lady of Sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to sprinkle some ashes,
mm-hmm,
in front of the, you know, the Iron Man right there on Holman and Jackson.
Yep.
Going to say our little prayer. That's my home. Now, in Detroit, Chicago, these two places,
mm-hmm,
you know, when you listen to Chris Webber, you know, Steve Smith, Jalen Rose, and them talk, hey, man, when I went to Detroit, I'm in my neighborhood.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know that? And when you listen to Derek Coleman and all them talk about Isaiah, what he came down, what he was doing, and all.
Yeah.
That's the same thing I was doing in Chicago.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be, you know, with the, I'm
yeah.
hanging out at the golf course. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You that ain't where you was going to find
me. Yeah.
You weren't looking for me at the golf course and trying to bump into me at, you know, at the golf course.
Yeah.
The last time I saw you, where'd you bump into me at?
At the Martin Luther King Boys Club, Girls Club. On Sacramento, on the west side of Chicago.
That's where we was. That's where you gonna find me. If you're looking for me, right, these are the places that I'm in.
Hold on. And then at Christmas time, at the Marillac house, where he give out the Christmas toys, that time, saw you there.
That's where I'm at. So if you're trying to find me in these rich places,
mm-hmm,
that ain't where I'm at.
Wow.
I tell you this, man, Isaiah, it's so much we want to talk to you about.
But yeah.
We gotta put this in here because I know our fans are gonna wanna know this, but Coach Knight.
Yeah.
Bobby Knight. Because what I heard is that you didn't want to go to Indiana, that you wanted to go to DePaul, but Mons was like, no, this is where you're going. Is this a true story?
Very true story. You know, again, Mark Aguirre was at DePaul. Terry was at DePaul. Teddy Griffin went to DePaul. And they have Bernard Randolph, Skip Dillard, and myself was supposed to be. I mean, it was just... It was going to be, yeah, it was just, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. One of the main reasons why my mom was like, you got to leave Chicago. Not that she didn't want me to go to DePaul. You may not make it out of Chicago.
Wow.
That's how the thought was at that time. Mm. You may not, how are we going to survive? I don't go to Indiana. We literally fall off into the abyss, you know.
Wow.
You know, so it's, you know, so yeah, mom was like, you know, you gotta leave. And when Coach Knight came to visit, we ain't had no light.
Right.
And Mr. Pingator gave us half a day. The visit was at 3 p.m.
Because
couldn't be after practice, couldn't be late going to dinner and all that.
Right.
3 p.m, he gonna come by the house. He gonna meet my mom, my brothers, everybody. So Coach Knight, people he brought with him, Wayne Embry and Quinn Buckner. Wayne Embry, right? You know, my family was big into, you know, civil rights, black culture, black. So when Wayne Embry and Quinn Buckner walked through the door, everybody was like, ooh, okay. So that's who Coach Knight walked in the door with. So he already got street cred. He got mad street cred when he walked in with those two. And for the audience who don't know who Quinn Buckner was in the state of Illinois, Quinn Buckner was undefeated in high school, won championship undefeated, then goes to college and went in college undefeated. with the Thorn Ridge, right? So he and Wayne come in, and you know, my brothers and all them sitting around, and you know, they get into it. You know, they get to asking questions, and I have to say this because you know, whenever I was with your pops, man, he reminded me so much of my brothers, man. It was like it was the spit image, man. It was like so you can imagine your pop sitting there talking to Coach Knight, some of the questions he would be asking and how he would be feeling. And Arthur, you on mute right now. So anyway, so Coach Knight, you know, was asking, you know, some of the questions and answering some of the questions. And then he answered one of the questions the wrong way. And my brother was like, what you mean? And Coach Knight said, you know, well, that's what I said. And so then it started getting a little heated, right? And, you know, everybody like, oh, you know how the house get, right? Oh, calm down, you know, everybody. And so I look at my mother, and my mother, that choir was sitting over in the corner like this. I'm like, oh, she liked him. Oh. So Coach Knight get up, he take off his jacket, he roll up his sleeves. You know, because my brother was like, hey, we could take this outside. So Coach rolled up his jacket, rolled up his sleeves, and he's like, yeah, we could take this outside. And my brother was like, this one here, I think we work with this one. And my brother, you know, and you know how everybody, you know, signing day, everybody had a hat, and they say, well, you know, I made my decision. I'm going to go to a school. My mama had the press conference. My mama said, my son has made his decision. He's going to Indiana University.
Where were you at?
I was sitting right next to her, like and,
oh, you gotta love it. You gotta love it.
That's it.
Wow.
I don't love it. You gotta love it though. Man, Mama Mary Thomas. Oh my goodness.
Man. From the west side of Chicago.
West side of Chicago.
They drove down to Bloomington, Indiana. Wow. We had moved. I was 1145 North Latrobe, right off of Division and Latrobe, right? Mm. They would drive every weekend. Somehow they would get down and their car would always break down. In Martinsville is like where the home of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
And they standing on the highway and they called Junior. The car stopped. I'm like, I got a game tomorrow. It's an afternoon. Man, you got to come get. Where y'all at? We in Martinsville. What? He's like, nah, I'm not, man. It's cool. They cool. Everybody good down here. We told them to come to see you. They like. Only my family, right?
Right. Gotta love it.
You know, we get a couple of cars. You know, now I got to knock on people's door. Hey, my brothers and them, they stuck out on, you know, on the road. You know, can we use your car, you know, to go get them? So they let me use their car. I go down there. Now, you know how all families come to.
Mm-hmm.
They come in like, it's 10 people
in one car. We got to double up.
Double up, right? That's what I say, and I'm asking myself, y'all been sitting on each other like this long? I'm, yeah, man. We ready. Man, every weekend, man. I was so happy to see them, but that's how they roll.
And That's family.
That's family there, boy. Man.
Zeke, we just got a few more questions for you, because I wanted to ask you about, man, just all of your business ventures right now, man. I mean, you got the wine, cannabis. Matter of fact, you're getting ready to speak at a conference on cannabis. I mean, tell us what Isaiah Thomas is doing these days.
And where did that smart, intelligent business acumen come from?
But so. That's a great question. Where did it come from? And again, I always give love and I always give it back to the West Side of Chicago, because at that time I didn't know I was an entrepreneur. So we talk about code switch and putting different terms and language on, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that I was entrepreneurial. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was hustling bottles, right? And I was shining shoes. And as the further I got along, I started realizing, like, business, a lot of the things that we do in our own neighborhood and our own community, these great business, you know, because, you know, our word really is our bond. Yep. And if we don't honor our word in our neighborhood, yeah. There's some consequence, not the word, real yep. consequence.
Yeah.
And so that part of business and just understanding, you know, what I have gone through and then now applying it. So yeah. I would be what you know, when I was young, you know, they said I was a hustler, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm older, the term that they've given me is I'm a serial entrepreneur, right?
Serial entrepreneur.
I mean, I have several businesses, just like mm-hmm. young, I had several businesses. I didn't know, you know, shining shoes, you know, selling newspapers, you know, and recycling bottles and cans. I didn't realize that, you know, I had three businesses.
Wow.
So what I do now is basically the same thing. When you talk about my hemp and cannabis business, I just did a deal with Stellantis. Stellantis is a car company that bought Chrysler, like third, fourth largest car company in the world. And what we're doing in the industrial hemp space is we're taking what we call hemp plastic, and we're removing plastic out of the automobiles, thus reducing the carbon footprint. I'm the current CEO of a publicly traded on OTC called One World Products. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about One World Products and you talk about, you know, for all the black and brown people who have been locked out of the cannabis space, who are trying to participate and get in it, but don't have the money now to get into the space. Now we own a black controlled public company that you can invest in and buy stock. And One World Products, again, an industrial hemp, we cultivate and we grow THC, CBD, CBG, CBN. We grow in Colombia. We have one of the largest extraction facilities that's being built. Now, why did we choose Colombia? We chose Colombia for equatorial benefit. The equatorial benefits that Colombia provides, sun, soil, and the indigenous farmers and growers. So when climate here in the States, when people are growing indoor, they're growing it indoors because they don't have the what we call the equatorial advantage of Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. Free sun, the soil, and then indigenous farmers and growers. What you pay for here, we get for free off the land.
Off the land, wow.
So now, how does that relate to champagne? So I'm the largest black-owned, American-owned champagne company, and the name of my champagne is Sherlock. And why is champagne can only be called champagne if it comes from the Champagne region in France? Again, the equatorial benefit of sun and the soil that grows a specific kind of grape that gives this grape a certain acidity that allows you to produce what we call. And so when you look at what I'm in now in the champagne, in the hemp space, okay, these are two spaces that not only do we know intimately through our families, through our communities,
mm-hmm.
this plant, this hemp industrial plant under One World Product is now getting ready to transform the way the world reacts to the environment. Now, when you look at the other business that I have in terms of real estate, construction, insurance, Isaiah ticketing, on our tickets aspect, you know, it's what we do every day. You know, we buy tickets to the events, right?
Right.
And we're trying to get into the arena. So we have to get a ticket to get into the arena. But we work with NBA teams, college teams, and also some of the major concerts that go out. So those are some of the business that we have under Isaiah International. Isaiah International is a family business. If you look at our website, you'll see a lot of family, a lot of graduates from IHM in St. Joe's. and, you know, with the family business, what we try to do is bring everything back to Chicago, bring everything back to our West Side, and employing and working with people who, you know, we grew up with, not only did we grow up with, but also doing business in the community. These are the things that Noble Drew Ali was talking about, building the community, working in the community, and how do we progress and get to the next.
One World Product. Get you some stocks, because I'm going to find it today. Get me some today.
I'm the gold of my era. I've been a trending topic. I'm as fly as a feather. My pocket's macroscopic. See, with time, I get better. I'm always in the action, kid. Know I got it locked from Chicago, where the toughest live. Concrete jungle, earn my stripes on the pavement there. You make it here, then you can make it anywhere. No comparison. Your game is embarrassing. No one can touch me. I'm all for going there again. Yeah, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm balling like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me. Yeah, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm balling like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me.
Hoop Dreams, the podcast, an Unlearning Network production. Written and produced by Arthur Agee, Will Gates, Matt Hoffer, with audio engineering from Matt Savage. For more episodes, check us out at www.unlearningnetwork.com.
Gotta be a dog to survive in this cold weather. Ice in my veins, no need for a warm sweater. I'm coming for it all, best believe I won't let up. Yeah, hey, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me. Yeah, I think I'm ballin' like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreamin', tryna fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me.
Yeah.